Our sermon series, The King, continues with Matthew's account of the angel of the Lord appearing to Joseph in a dream. The angel informed Joseph that Mary would give birth to a son who would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Our sermon, The King is Emmanuel, is based on Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Glad you can be seated. Would you please join me in prayer? Gracious Lord God, we thank you that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And we ask that you would be with us now, that you would send your Holy Spirit, that you make your presence known to us as we consider your word, as we meditate on it, as we consider all that you have done in and for us. In the precious name of that is above all names, we pray, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, as we continue into this Advent series about the King, we have a text that is, you know, in from Matthew's perspective, that brings us Joseph's perspective. Now, the traditional gospel reading for Christmas Day is Luke chapter 2, which is the angel Gabriel coming down to. We've heard that the angel Gabriel comes down to Mary, but then we have the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And Matthew's account, though, comes at it from Joseph's perspective. What was it like for him? And I want to bring out some high points or some highlights here. They're all high points, but I want to focus in on a few. And we know that Joseph and Mary, they've been together. He finds out that she's pregnant. And some people think, well, in the old days, in those ancient days, they didn't know how those things happened. I promise you they did, okay? So there was no doubt that there was a problem here. And Joseph wanted to do the right thing, and he wanted to follow God's law. And he felt like he needed to break this off to be faithful to God. And as he's considering it, the angel of the Lord comes to him in a dream. And the angel says this, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, one of the things to understand about angelic messengers is they were not people that brought advice. Sometimes I believe we make the error of thinking that this is all about God's advice to us, when in fact, this is God's announcement of the greatest news the universe has ever heard. not advice, announcement. And in fact, when we hear the word gospel, you know, we say the gospel of the Lord, and you say thanks be to God, or we think of the gospels, the four gospels, and we think, oh, well, that's a New Testament term, and that is unique to the church. But actually, the early church borrowed that term from the Romans, gospel. It literally means good news. And it was never meant to be thought of in terms of advice, but as announcement. And so, for instance, a herald would come into a city and say, I have good news. I have gospel. And that is that Caesar has had a son, or that Caesar has won a great victory in the north, or that, you know, it could be anything like that. But it was never, the announcer would never come and say, well, and here's some advice for you for daily living. No. This is news. In fact, the messengers, the Roman messengers who would go out and do these things, or anyone else at that point who would bring an announcement, was called an angelos. Angelos. What does that sound like? Angel. Okay? Angels were messengers. Okay, but not all messengers were angels. Let's just make sure that's clear. All right, and so when the angel comes, he's bringing an announcement. He brought, think about this. The angel Gabriel came and made an announcement to Mary. And the angel of the Lord comes to Joseph and makes an announcement to Joseph and says, this is good news. In fact, when the angel comes to Mary, he says, do not be afraid, Mary. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Does that sound like advice? No. And in fact, it's a statement of fundamental truth. I bring you good news. I mean, that is plain and simple, nose on your face kind of truth. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. There it is. You see, when the angel comes and says, take Mary as home as your wife, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, she will give birth to a son. What he's saying is, this is a fundamental thing that's going to happen. And then he says, I want you to name him Jesus. Now, we know the name of Jesus. It's the name above all names. But you need to understand something. That was a very popular name in the day. It was sort of like John or David, which was very popular back then, as it is today. But Jesus, if we go back a little ways, comes from the name Joshua. Joshua. And so in the people of Israel's mind, and in Joseph's mind, in Mary's mind, this name Jesus meant he saves. And they thought of Joseph. They would think of Joseph. Remember, Moses had led, they were great heroes in the Old Testament. There were Moses who led the people out of Egypt, out of slavery, into the wilderness. But Joseph led them into the promised land. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Off we go. And you know what? The Lord has to come to Joseph and say, be strong and courageous because of what's going to be coming. So Joseph, in that mindset, was, in the people's minds, was he saves. He's a hero. Much like King David would be, much like Joseph would be. But what the angel makes clear to Joseph, to Mary, to the shepherds, to everyone, is that this new king, this hero, this Jesus, would not be saving them from the Egyptians or the Babylonians or some foreign power or from other thing or some other people. He would save them from their sins. Martin Luther did a beautiful job of kind of summing up so much of our sinful, dark condition when he said the three things that are darkness in this world: sin, death, and the power of the devil. That's what Jesus rescues us from: sin, death, and the power of the devil. He saves us. So this book and this word from the angel, he's not announcing a new philosophy of life. He's not even announcing a new teaching or example. No, this isn't news. It's not advice. It's the best possible news that could have been out there. And it's this: I've come. The Lord has come. And if we go on to verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah: the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And I think that most Christians, as they walk through, they have a sense that, yeah, Jesus is with us. We know that through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is with you right now. But I don't think we quite get the power of it. Because through the ages, the word was, God will come. God will come and he will live among us. He will make his dwelling among us. And the last, many of you know Matthew 28, and it's go and make disciples of all nations, right? Teach them, baptize them. But the very last sentence in Matthew, Matthew chapter 1 starts with, his name will be Emmanuel. He will be Emmanuel, God with us. The last sentence of the Gospel of Matthew is this. And Jesus says to them and to us, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I am Emmanuel through every moment of every day for all time. This is Jesus who's with us today, with us now. We're told that when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And remember, this was not advice. The angel wasn't saying, I think Jesus is a lovely name. He said, no, you will name this child Jesus because he will. There was no condition. He might save you from their sins. He might be a great hero. But he will. And so Joseph gave him the name Jesus. All right, so you have the announcement, you have the gospel, you have the good news. So what are we to do with it? One of the very first things that we're told is that we are the people who live in darkness. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 9, we're told that the people living in darkness, who is that? Us. And I know, because I've heard it, some of you have said, boy, these are dark, you know, things are just falling apart now. But you know what? Your grandparents said the same thing. Oh, things are falling apart. And you know what? Their grandparents' grandparents' grandparents said the exact same thing. Oh, it's these are dark days. All right, in Jesus' day, were people saying the same thing? Oh, these are dark days. Well, but you know what? The Bible tells us, ever since the fall, we are living in darkness. That just is. So it shouldn't surprise you when you hear somebody say we're living in dark days, because you can say amen to that. But you don't have to say, well, I don't know if it's darker or not, but it's dark. And the announcement that Isaiah made, and he's looking toward, hundreds of years in the future, God gives him this word. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. Why do we have candles up here? The light. Why do we have all the lights on the Christmas tree is to remind us that in the darkness, we've seen a great light. We've had visitors come through, friends come through, and we'll say, oh, you gotta, if they're here in the evening, you gotta go by Mark Plotz. You know, what is part of the beauty of that? It's the contrast, isn't it? The bright lights in the dark. And so that is who Jesus is. And Isaiah continues, and on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Who's that light? Say it out loud.
Jesus.
It's Jesus. And Peter says this. Peter writes this in the New Testament. He says, declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wondrous light. He's called you out of that darkness. Okay, but so again, what do we do? Do we just say, okay, that's great information? Well, the good news is that Jesus calls us to respond to this message and to bring this good news to other people. We're called, and one of the reasons we confess our sins each week is that we're called to admit that we cannot save ourselves and that we are walking in darkness without the Lord. Now, one of the very first sermons that Jesus preaches, John the Baptist preached it before him, repent. And Jesus says, repent and believe the good news. Leave the darkness. Come, and a big part of this is recognizing that you're in the darkness in the first place. And that's the most bitter pill for most people to swallow, is to understand that they're in the darkness. I want you to imagine something. Maybe this week, maybe next Sunday, you get a gift from somebody in your family. Somebody who knows you very well. And you open it up, and the cover of the book, the title of the book is How to Become Less Selfish. And then your best friend, there's another gift from your best friend, and underneath the tree, you open it up and you rip the paper off, and it says How to Think of Yourself Less and Become More Aware of Other People's Needs. And then there's another book. And another, and another, and they're all similar. What do you do? Is that a bitter pill to swallow? But you see, that's the message God brings, is you're in darkness, and you need the light. You need my son. And so many of you have family members, you have friends, and you may be there yourself right now, but you think, I'm not in the darkness. They may think to themselves, I'm not in darkness. Why do you keep telling me this? Well, if you wonder why they respond negatively, picture you yourself getting that book. Now, here's the thing. Do those people who love you recognize something, perhaps? Well, and even if they're wrong, God isn't. God knows that you and I need to know that we're walking in darkness. And the only way we come out of that darkness is through his power, through Emmanuel, Jesus, with us. He's the light of the world. But so, as we walk forward through this week, as you're with those family members, with those friends who have walked away from the light, one of the things that is just a basic truth, I think, for any of us, is none of us can make somebody else have faith. None of us can make somebody see the truth. But what we can do is be an angelos, to be a messenger, and to make Christ known. Because who's the only one that can change a heart? It's God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. I always love Luther's explanation of this. I'm going back to Luther again, but he captures it so brilliantly. I believe I cannot by my own understanding or effort believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and kept me in true faith. So what do we do for that dear one? Or if you find yourself kind of slipping back into that darkness, you pray, you seek the prayers of others. We pray, Lord, help me to speak the word of truth, of light, of your Son. That people may not receive this as advice, but as life-changing, world-transforming truth. And so I want to invite you into prayer now. And I want to pray for you, but I also want to pray for those that are very dear to you who have wandered into the darkness. May we pray, please. Lord Jesus, you offer yourself to us. You are the light. Lord, in the midst of this darkness, there are so many who are not experiencing your love, your grace, your forgiveness. Father, we ask that you would break through with power, that your light would displace the darkness within us and within those who are so dear to us. Help them, change them, transform them through your power. Let your light so shine in the dark places of their hearts and in our hearts, and show all of us our need for you, that we may confess our sinfulness and come to you, the light of the world. Come, Lord Jesus, Emmanuel, and be with us. Amen.